Well, I'm sure everybody who walked outside today, this morning, or drove to church, saw a very minuscule part of the glory of God, just in the beauty of what He can present, a picture of hoarfrost. And at the same time, if you times that by a million, it wouldn't even come close to the glory when you get to heaven. Not even close. But this last year, we lost some people to life itself, and there's memories that are, at this time of year, can be difficult because we've lost a member of the body of Christ, but they're in glory, and that takes time to adapt and adjust, and at the same time realize that where they're at, but we're thankful they're there. 2025 was a very good year for the church. As we've been blessed immensely by the Word of God and by Scripture, which is inexhaustible, and at the same time it is so rewarding when we read it and we absorb it and we appreciate our Lord and Savior even more day by day. Sunday school started up again. This morning, as well as adult Bible study, continued going, and so Friday Bible study will start up again. I believe this Friday. If I'm wrong, then you can let me know. Men's Bible. Sorry.
There is the funeral in the afternoon, but I think we probably.
Yeah. And men's Bible study will start up on January 14th, 7:30 at my place. Sunday worship service at 11, and. Obviously, Sunday school and adult Bible study upstairs. I'd just like to thank everyone that was part of the church this year. I'd like to thank Steve and Misha and all the men that stepped up to preach, and all the visiting ministers that were willing to come here and give us the Word of God and grant us the peace that passes all understanding through that gospel message. I guess my prayer, and I haven't talked to Steve, but my prayer this year is like James 4 says, the closer we get to God, the more we get to God, the closer He is to us. But please finish that verse, because there is some warnings there too at the same time, but the warning is more so because you're closer to God, because you are in the Word and in season and out of season, the obstacles are not nearly as prevalent, because you see the beauty of Christ more so than you see the obstacles of the world, the flesh and the devil. Any prayer requests?
I think we should also remember Lynn over the season and through this year. She's having a tough battle. Prayers for her, prayers for Arlene, prayers for Roy. There's so many to remember. And Joanne, especially for her funeral this Friday coming up. And her loss for Miriam, it's really been hard on her.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Terry. Order of service today, hymn 54, O God, Our Help. Psalm reading is Rafi, is Psalm 88. And then hymn 250, God of Grace and God of Glory. Jordan will do the prayer and the message, and the message is Luke 2, 12 to 40. Hymn 560 after the prayer, and lead on, O King Eternal. And after the message, it's hymn Within Thy Wings Enfold Me. Let's begin.
Our children from your story bless. The psalm is Psalm 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly shewed to the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing in praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and sound of cornet make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity.
Prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you once again, thankful that we can gather together in freedom and peace here in Sylvan Lake, Alberta, and thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you've given us. We pray for those who have struggles too. We all have some kind of struggles, and people around us may or may not know what each of us has for struggles, and we may not see what other people are dealing with, but we do pray for those who are struggling with hard things, as Terry mentioned, Roy and Joanne, Arlene, and I think of Janet too, losing Willie, and so many friends of ours. Each of us knows other people that, not necessarily from this group, that are struggling with health and mental challenges and physical health and so many different things. And only you, Lord, know what each of us needs. And we pray that you'd give each of us strength for each day and courage and direction and everything we need. I pray for this message this morning that give me clarity and understanding to if there's anything to be said that's of use to the people here, that it would come out, and pray for the people here too, that they could, their ears would be open to hear what they need, and give us what we need spiritually and physically and in every way. And above all, we do thank you, Lord, for all the blessings, the natural blessings, and especially for sending Jesus Christ as our Savior, and for giving us faith to believe in his work on our behalf. And now let us pray that perfect prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The grace, the mercy, and peace of God our Father be with each of you here this morning. I chose that Psalm 98 to seem to go with this time right now, We just celebrated the birth of Jesus with Christmas, and then we carry on with our lives, and we have a new year here just started, and each of us has some kind of a battle. That last song was, I think, really good too. And that Psalm 98 goes into that too, that we should make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm or a song. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, O King. And I think that's how the believers of God, that's how we should ideally live our lives, with joy, even though we might have hard things, we might have some battles to fight, as the song says. And it's not just us, it's in the New Testament, it says that if we would hold our peace, even the hills, that the earth would cry out, and that's what the psalm here says. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, and the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world. So we're, as believers in Jesus and God, we are called to tell other people about what we've heard and found and believe. There is a God that's going to come and judge eventually, but at the end of our life, or if God chooses to end this earth sooner, then that's up to him. But for now, while we're all here alive, we're to tell about this Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, and how he came to save us from our sins. In a few months, we'll focus on Easter and the death and resurrection of Jesus, but right now, we'll focus on his birth and the promise that we see many promises from the Old Testament were fulfilled. I don't know. Somebody has probably counted how many prophecies and promises from the Old Testament were fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. There was lots. And I think that for me, and hopefully for everyone here, the fulfillment of the promises can help us to trust this Bible, that it's something that we can trust, that it's when God says he's going to do something, then he brings it to pass. And it may not be in the time that we think it's going to, but it will happen in God's time. So my main text I was going to read from Luke 2. And we've heard... Tom spoke a little bit on Luke 2, verse 10, and we heard the children bring us most of the Christmas story at our Christmas program there a couple weeks ago. And so I'm just going to kind of run over the first part of Luke 2 a little bit, and we'll mostly start on about the 11th verse. We see Mary and Joseph. They went to Bethlehem. They lived in a town of Nazareth, which is about 140 kilometers north of Jerusalem. And they went to Bethlehem, which is about 5 or so kilometers south of Jerusalem. So for especially the women here, if you can imagine being 9 months pregnant, making about close to 100-mile trip, probably on foot. Maybe they had a donkey or something. The Bible doesn't tell us, but at 9 months pregnant to travel 150 kilometers, probably by foot. It was not something that you'd want to do unless you really had to. And there was a census. They were called to be taxed. They were enrolled in a census. They were part of the Roman Empire. The most of these people, they were basically slaves. They were property of the empire. They didn't have any citizenship. They didn't have any status. Joseph and Mary were basically the property of the emperor and Caesar. And so if Caesar said you did something, you just did it, and it didn't matter what the cost was or what. You didn't have any excuses. You just had to do what Caesar said. And this is what they had to do. And we think, as far as we know, Joseph and Mary were poor people. They probably didn't have any money or very little to be taxed on, but the Roman Empire made the rules, and they wanted to know everybody where they lived and their whole situation. So they went down about 100 miles or so, 90 miles, down to Bethlehem. And when they got there, everybody else was also there because of the same reason. And we see that there was no room for them, that even though they were 9 months pregnant, I think any of us would try to make room, you know, give them the best bed in the house, but apparently they didn't even rate that. We know that there was people they saw Mary as possibly a kind of an unwed mother. They were espoused or engaged, but the world didn't see it as a good situation, and they didn't really look very well upon Mary and Joseph. So they ended up in this stable having a baby. And I think, in my opinion, that probably one of the most humble situations, maybe the most humble situation that a baby has ever been born in, or very close to it. There's nobody here who can say that we were born in a more humble place than Jesus. But it was to fulfill the will of God, and to that humble place, God sent these wise men bringing gifts that were fit for kings, and God sent some humble shepherds that were also very poor people, and they came and they heard the word of God, and they were obedient. But there wasn't a lot of glory. They didn't have a lot of praise of their neighbors. Jesus never did, even when he grew up. He said that a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, in his own family. And I think it was that way right from his birth. Jesus wasn't given a lot of honor by this world. But he was honored by God. He was sent by God, and he came and fulfilled everything that was to be done for the saving of our souls. I'm going to start on verse 11 here, Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This was the angel speaking to the shepherds. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This was all prophesied multiple places in the Old Testament. The city of David, of course, was King David. And when David was a young man, he was a shepherd. And we got some Bergstroms here that have some sheep. They probably have a little more understanding of sheep than most of us. But I grew up having, our neighbors had some sheep that we herded sometimes. And you learn a little bit about how they work, and the Bible calls all of us sheep. It's not always we might not always take that as a compliment, but I think it's probably fairly accurate that you can't really chase sheep. You gotta call them, and they follow for the most part. They know their shepherd and trust him. But yeah, these angels, they appeared to these shepherds, these poor shepherds. They were herding sheep up on the hills. Last time I preached, I mentioned a little bit about that. They called it the hill country of Judea, where it was the same hills and very steep, rugged country there. Kind of a desert, but very steep ravines but it was the same exact hills where King David had herded sheep 1,000 or so years before. And these shepherds, they were still up there herding sheep on the same exact place, probably using some of the same sheep folds and watering holes. And these angels appeared to them. You'd think the angels might come to some of the, you know, prominent wealthy businessmen or something like that, but instead God came to these shepherds. And maybe the wealthy people probably wouldn't have received them. They might not have received the message. So God comes to the people who he knows will receive it. And we see the angels praising God, and we're instructed also, whether it's in Psalms or other places, we're instructed to praise God. And when we hear and know and believe the things that God has done for us, the angels sang glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. So the shepherds went down into Bethlehem, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. I'm sure there was... I don't think everybody believed it, but it was an amazing story. There was probably some that believed it, but it says that everybody wondered at it. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard as it was told unto them. The shepherds, they were some of the ones that did believe it fully, and we thank God for that. We see Mary here. I'm sure she didn't know what to think about a lot of it. She was a very young lady, probably a teenager. She has a new baby, and of course, her and Joseph had both been prophesied by the angel. Gabriel had come to them both separately, back before when the baby was conceived. And I think probably all of us would have some wondering and pondering if an angel appears to us and told us something, and then it comes to pass. And some of these things could be hard to believe, but sometimes you may just have to not quite understand all of it, but just keep it in our heart and say that God's will be done. And when 8 days was accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And this was all Jewish custom that had been brought to them by God had given instruction to Abraham. I'm not sure, probably maybe 1,500, 2,000 years before or something like that, it was a long time before that Abraham lived. And God instructed Abraham how they were supposed to do it, that on the eighth day the male children were to be circumcised, and the mother was supposed to have 7 days purification also. So on the eighth day, the mother and the child were both ready to, the child would be circumcised, and they would do it in the temple, I think, if they could. And they would also bring a sacrifice. And this is all, you can look in the book of Leviticus in the earlier part of the Old Testament. It's all laid out what the Jews were supposed to do. And Jesus fulfilled all of the requirements, all the things that the Jewish law and all that required. Jesus went through all of that and fulfilled it. And then he also fulfilled all the prophecies about him. And some of them seem, I'm sure people wondered at some of the prophecies, that it said that he would be called out of Egypt. How was that supposed to happen? That he was going to be from Nazareth, he was going to be born in Bethlehem, he was going to come out of Egypt. There was a lot of different things. But right now, when he was 8 days old, they fulfilled the requirements of the law, that every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. They had circumcised him and offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. I think this consolation was, there was a lot of people, not a large percentage, I think, the nation of Israel was not very devout. They, for the most part, had kind of a religion where they'd go to the temple once a year and kind of do what was expected of them, to put on appearances. But most of them weren't really very, very devout. But there was some, and we see some, Zacharias and Joseph and Mary and this Simeon, who were really waiting for what it says, what it calls the consolation of Israel. They were looking for a Messiah. There was people, they were waiting for Jesus to come. They were waiting for these prophecies to be fulfilled, and they didn't know when it was going to happen, but they were really in tune with that. They were keeping their eyes open and expected that it was going to happen. And this Simeon was another man who says that the Holy Ghost was upon him. So I've mentioned before, there's people throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New, who had the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God was with them. And here in the 26th, it says, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. obviously he had been led rightly. Even to this day, there's almost continually somebody who is making some kind of prophecy that Jesus is going to come back, whether it's in the next year or next few years. There's always somebody somewhere in the world. Somebody is making a prophecy that Jesus is going to be back here on some certain day. And of course, for the last 2,000 years, all those prophecies continually have been proven wrong, and so therefore, by the judgment of the word, they're false prophets. But this Simeon, it had been revealed to him that he was going to see the Lord's Christ. He was going to see Jesus, and it was the Holy Ghost that had revealed it to him, and he was expecting it. So the Holy Spirit led him to go to the temple at this time. And that's where he was when the parents, when Mary and Joseph brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. The Simeon recognized Jesus. Somehow I think that's the way the Holy Spirit works. It's also called the still small voice. There's as mentioned in a few places, Moses and I think Elijah, the various prophets who heard that still small voice, that they heard the Spirit led them, and even to this day, I think God can lead us in various ways. Some people, I guess hear a voice, and other people are just might be just something that. You weren't really planning to go someplace or do something, but it just seems like that's what needs to happen that day for whatever reason. And I know I've had a few things like that myself where my day didn't go the way I was planning at all, but it became apparent that I needed to be where I was and talk to somebody or whatever. And I think that's how the Spirit can lead us in different ways. And that's how the Simeon, he went into the temple and he recognized Jesus. And I'm sure there was poor people bringing in babies to be circumcised every day of the year. The temple was a busy place. There might have been 100 babies getting circumcised. And somehow that Spirit opened Simeon's eyes. So he recognized Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And I think that's what God can do. I've heard a lot of testimony of that, and I say I've seen that even in my own life. I don't know if I mentioned it here. Even last summer, I met a guy, and I was just at the Red Deer County office, and I was leaving, getting ready to get in my car, and this other guy just got there, and it was we just kind of looked at each other, and. Started walking towards each other, and it's like we had a great conversation, and he had some struggles, and we just needed to visit. And I think God can do that. I know God can do that. I've had it happen, and I pray that each of you, that God will hook you up with the people and whatever needs to happen in your life. That's how the Simeon was. He somehow, by the Spirit, he recognized Jesus. He recognized Joseph and Mary and Jesus. And he went over and he took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. I think all of us would marvel. It's in some ways, Joseph and Mary, they were willing to do God's will, but there were marvelous things happening to them, things that were very hard at the time. I'm guaranteed they were very hard times, but amazing, because God gave them what they needed in the moment. And then to have things like this, these shepherds just showed up in this stable, and then Simeon, just out of the crowds at the temple, he just sees them, recognizes them, recognizes Jesus especially. And I'd say the Simeon, he was probably, doesn't say how old he was, but I assume that he was an old man, because a lot of old people, especially trusting in Jesus, are looking to see Jesus, looking to go to heaven, and this world doesn't hold a lot for him anymore. And I think sounds like that's where Simeon was. He says, "Now, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which God has prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." I think this 32nd verse, that is really a blessing to probably all of us here, because I don't know if there's any Jews in this group here. We're all Gentiles. And a lot of the Jews, they were very very proud of their history, that they, in the Old Testament, were called God's chosen people. And they were proud of that, and they were pretty exclusive. They didn't really see that God might provide salvation for the rest of the world. Although even in the Old Testament, there is some examples of Gentiles becoming Jews or following God. Mostly the city of Nineveh was not a Jewish city, and it repented and became followers of God for a time. But here in the 32nd verse, Simeon says something that a lot of the Jews wouldn't have received at that time, that this light, Jesus, would also lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Jesus came for the Jews and the Gentiles. He came for everybody, for the whole world. And he says, "For my eyes have seen thy salvation." It wasn't just his salvation, it was the salvation. He saw the salvation of the whole world in Jesus there, that little baby, which God has prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. I think any of us, if we had a little baby that people were saying these kind of things about, even though Joseph and Mary had seen the angel, all these things all just reinforced what the angels had told them and what the prophecies said. They all were reinforced. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." We see in Jesus' life that's exactly what he did. Especially once Jesus started preaching as a man, he was set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. And Jesus preached repentance and remission of sins, so which is like a death to ourselves and a spiritual rebirth and life, which is a fall and a rising again. And for a sign which shall be spoken against. We know that throughout history and even to this day, Jesus is often spoken against. There's a lot of people in our society here in Canada who will say that Christianity is the biggest problem, the biggest hindrance that humans have known, that we are the problem. We are the reason for all the problems in the world. There's people that are so deluded, they believe that, and they sometimes have high places and university degrees and all sorts of things, and they will say and fully believe that Jesus is the biggest problem that this world has known. He'll be spoken against. He was spoken against in his own day. Jesus, right from when his ministry started, he wasn't very long. He went to Nazareth, his hometown, where he grew up, and he wasn't well received there. He was spoken against there. For the most part, it says he did not many miracles there because of their unbelief. That was just his hometown. Everywhere he went, Jesus divided the people. There were some people that followed him and loved him, and there was a lot of people who hated him. And they hated his message, and they spoke against it. But still, the message was one of peace and joy. And Jesus brought that to those who believed. He says that a sword will pierce Mary's own soul also. We know that Mary saw Jesus. Some 30 years later, she saw him crucified. Which I think most of us can't even imagine how hard that would be. And even just to see just the conflict, the hatred that some people had for Jesus, you know, when he was preaching. Some people, like I say, loved him and followed him, and there was many, especially the rich and a lot of the priests, a lot of the well-respected leaders, so to speak, in the Jewish community. They absolutely hated Jesus. They plotted to kill him. And Mary saw all those things, and it would have pierced her soul, I'm sure, as any mother to see her son. Go through those hard things. And then there was Anna. It says she was a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was all of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years. She was 84 years, so she was about 84 years old, which in those days was extremely old. If you look at the history of the world, people typically haven't lived very long. You know, most of the history of the world, the average life expectancy of a person is 35 or 40 years. So this lady was 84 years old. And she also, like Simeon, she also was a follower of God. It says that she lived, it sounds like she lived right in the temple. She departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. She, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise to the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So she, like Simeon, there wouldn't have been any outward identification that this Joseph and Mary and Jesus were the Savior of the world. But by the Spirit, she also, like Simeon, they both recognized this Jesus. The Spirit showed them who it was, and I think there was no questioning here. It says in that instant, just instantaneously, she recognized the Lord and she gave thanks. and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. So they would have, they probably, I could say, Bethlehem was a little bit south of Jerusalem. It'd be like, say, Nisku or something. Jerusalem, if Jerusalem was Edmonton, Bethlehem was a little bit to the south. And then, so if you went to the big city in Jerusalem, then they would have carried on to the north, to their home. Might be Athabasca, for those of you who have been up north Edmonton, something like that. Which is still, you know, imagine today on foot. It still would have been quite a journey with a week-old baby. But they went back to their own city, to their own home. Joseph, being a carpenter, he would have gone back to his work. And it says, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And that's about all. We don't hear hardly anything about Jesus for 30 years. It's one little. The next part of the chapter tells a little bit when he was 12 years old. There's a little blurb, and then other than that, there basically Jesus 30 years of his life. It doesn't tell us anything. Just this verse 40 that he waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And that's the way he grew up. I'm sure he probably worked as a carpenter with his father. By the time Jesus' ministry starts, we have to assume that Joseph was probably dead, because it doesn't mention Joseph again after Jesus was 12. But I pray for each of us here that if we're seeking God's will, trusting in God, trusting in Jesus, that the Spirit of God can be with each one of you. And I pray that you would ask. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. That if we're seeking God, seeking Jesus, God is going to give us, God's going to grant those prayers. He might not give us everything we want, but if we want Jesus in our life, if we want a Savior, if we want the Holy Spirit to comfort and lead us, God will answer. I believe God will answer those gifts those requests. He will give us those gifts. And so I encourage everyone here to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that even secular history records the things add up, the record is true. But ultimately God has to give faith, and I pray for everyone here that you would be able to believe in Jesus Christ, and that he is the Savior of the world, and that he is your personal Savior most especially. And may God bless the reading of his word to his glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll continue with 567. Make his face to shine upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of our Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.